session number 24838, Rule 6.
Mr. Deuce, Rule 6. We were talking about when you'd rejoin the unit at B's Stables Camp in Hong Kong around about July 1954, and you did the third class education, which you passed. What happened then? What did they do with you then?
Nothing really, because it was.
Do you have any duties? I mean, you know, in headquarters company, normally it's specialists and people have, you know, what were they doing with you?
Well, I'm going to be honest, I done nothing. I got 7 days, I know, in CB, because somebody went out to Fan Ling and they got lost and told the woman in the house when they came to the door that they were just back from Korea and was lost. So they done a battalion bed check to find out who was missing. Well, I was down in the ablutions, and of course I wasn't in my bed, so I got 7 days for somebody else who did go around there. They told him the quick way back to camp. Obviously he was back in his bed, and I got done because I wasn't in it. However, I got me 7 days. And
what did it mean being confined? Tell us what would happen to you when you were still on CT.
You just couldn't go out. You know, you was confined to barracks, meant confined to barracks. You know, you'd see them. You used to report to the guard room in the morning, lunchtime, after you'd had your lunch. Then you don't do anything because it was early reveille. Finished at lunchtime, but where the others were relaxed and can go out, you was got a job to do. The provost sergeant made sure you had a job, even if it was like I got one day cutting grass about an inch and a half tall with a sickle in the blazing hot sun, but that was the policeman that was getting punished, not me, because I was stripped off, he wasn't. You see, so he was punishing his policeman, not me. And then you have to report evenings. They give you a job to do in the cookhouse or something like that. And then you have to report on staff parade at 10 o'clock with all your kit on. Then you go finished, and then it went on the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until your 7 days was up. That's when I used to meet Sergeant Major Boxall sometimes.
But you didn't know this?
They always put me on fire picket Thursday night, pay night, I don't know why. But I always, nearly always got, me and two others, we always got fire picket Thursday night.
What was fire picket then?
Well, me. Just waltzing around the camp with a pickaxe handle in your hand.
What were you meant to do?
Well, just check the mule stables, that, you know, there was nobody loitering around there. And
sounds more like a guard than a fire picket.
Well, it was, but you were checking for fires. Well, it's supposed to be fires, but, I mean, they were all buildings, they wasn't tents, so I mean, I didn't see what they wanted a fire picket for, really, because you're just walking around wearing your boots up.
And anything else during your period there? Anything else, you know, sort of duties you were doing?
No.
Because you weren't with them that long.
No, I wasn't that long.
Because they left, I think, in August.
Yeah. We left and went to Holden Camp down in Kowloon. And where this monsoon whipped us up, so we couldn't get on the ship couldn't get in. It was impossible. The wind and rain. So we was held there for a week or a fortnight, and then We came home on...
What do you remember of the Monty? What was he like?
Being pretty rough. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had wind and rain in October here. It was nothing in comparison. None of them would have been standard. None of
the trees that had been down.
No, no. It was pretty scary at times. I mean, you couldn't even open a window or a door. Well, if you opened a door, you nearly took it out of your hand.
And then you set off right at the end of, on the Devonshire.
That's right.
Our 5-week voyage taking from, well, September into October.
Yeah.
Well, what do you remember of that voyage in the Devonshire?
It was quite, wasn't too bad at all. No, not too bad at all. I thought it was going to be, you know, a bit airy because you're with the battalion, you know. But it wasn't that bad at all. And that wasn't until... Well, we lost one in the South China Sea. He decided he didn't want to go home. Not one of ours. I think he was in the Royal Navy, I think. He decided to jump over the side, and so that meant turning the boat round to try and find him, but it was a waste of time, really.
He was a deserter. So you don't know whether he drowned or...
Oh, yeah, he never picked him up. That's obvious. You weren't going to find no one in them rough waters. But then we carried on and stopped at all the ports where we stopped going out.
Any training while you were on board ship?
Well, you did have a bit of rifle firing if you wanted to do it, you know, but mainly it was just laying there soaking up the sun. Yeah, wasn't too bad. Better than I thought it was going to be as we were with the battalion. I thought it was going to be more... regimented, you know, but that was when I think we had left Hayden or Port Said when they had to pick a guard of honour for when we got back to Liverpool, and then that meant I was one of those, and that meant cleaning your kit, finding it and cleaning it. I mean, in salt water you can't bull your boots, you can't clean brass. So that would have been just as well if he'd have left it to the night before, when we had stopped, docked in the harbour, no salt air, you could have done it all then. Because he didn't come on board until, well, I think he came on board just as we got there, but the night before would have been plenty time enough, but... So I was sitting there trying to clean a pair of boots, which couldn't.
Did you get into trouble, or...?
No, I mean, everybody's boots were dull. You can't keep a shine on them, not in sea air.
So, what's the next... You got back, 5th of October. And you were going to go to Roman Way Camp in Colchester.
That's right, yeah.
No. What did you get leave first?
No, we off the boat on a train down to Haversack. Well, we all had Haversack rations, and then got straight through to Colchester. And Roman Way Camp, we got there. It was dark. Half past seven at night, I think it was, something like that. And then, I'm not sure whether that was the next day or a couple of days later, we went home on leave for 6 weeks.
How was it? I mean, you know, getting back, it's a long time to be away for a young lad. How was your leave? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. The first meal my mother put in front of me was a roast pudding, which I then seen it grow. Threshed, eaten. So I didn't eat it. So, you know, it was quite, it was a bit, how can you put it? You didn't know whether you want to be happy or cry, because you was home. Seeing all my sisters, who I hadn't seen for over 2 years, and my mother and father, you know, it made you swallow a bit heavy. for a time. But after a little while talking, you know, they want to know everything. What was this like? What was that like? And that was just like a beehive, you know, it was everybody buzzing in you.
Did you, I mean, 6 weeks is quite a time as well. Did you settle back to some sort of civilian life? I mean, getting used to it again in that time?
No, because after being in the army, I realised Civvy Street wasn't going to be for me, though I'd got to try it.
We'll come back, because I know you go back into the army after you did it right. Mm. So when you got back for leave, what happened then?
Well, when I went back to...
Yeah. Well, you were on leave for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that was November. Yeah, November I went back, and well, towards the end of November. So we only had, say, a month before it was Christmas leave. Touch wood, I was one of the lucky ones that got leave. And so we had Christmas off. New Year, I assume. Can't remember. Then we went back, and before you knew where he was, that was up in front of the CO for thank you for joining the regiment and this, that and the other, and demobbed.
Yeah. When? So you were demobbed when? January?
January the 14th, I think it was.
Now, was there any question of your staying?
Yes, he did ask us. I said, not at the moment. I don't feel as if, you know, I want to stay in. But should I change my mind, I shall definitely rejoin the Norfolks, or the Royal Norfolks, you see. So he said, well, let's hope we see you again. And I said, I've had a pleasant time in the army, which I had. I couldn't take that away. And I was in betwixt and between, shall I, shan't I type of thing. However, I went out and...
What do you remember of your demobilisation?
Well, he just said, hand your kit in, go to the orderly room, pick up your railway warrant, and the rest of the time is yours. Which, we went back to Colchester Station, got on the train to Cambridge, or Bury St Edmunds, and then through to Cambridge, where I was living then. And and that was it.
So how did you settle down in Cambridge? You got back to Cambridge. What were you planning to do? You were out of the army.
Yeah, well, them days, where you left your work from to join to when you was called up, they were more or less compelled to take you back, whether you wanted to or not. You know, if you wanted to go back, yes, they were compelled to take you back. So I went back to Eastern Counties Leather Company.
And how did you settle back there?
Well, I couldn't, because everything... You were in a routine again, you know, up, work, back, work, you know.
And what was it... I mean, you'd been in a routine in the army, though. What was it about civilian life? Why couldn't you settle back to civilian life?
Well, all me mates and friends out at the village had gone. One of them, he's still living in Torquay. My other friend, next door neighbour, he was in the RAF. He was posted all over the place. And all the others were younger than me. So it was just work in the British Legion at night. Work, British Legion again the next night, you know.
And this, you were at Whittlesford?
Yeah.
Or do you mean Cambridge itself? You were
still in Whittlesford, yes. One road through it, virtually, you know, don't blink, you're through it, type of village. And eventually I found a girlfriend, and this that didn't materialise. After a time, I found out she was doing the dirty on me. I kept changing jobs. Which?
What jobs did you try?
Well, I went in the building for WC French, London firm from Biggin Hill, weren't they? Years ago. Come from that way anyhow. And I tried working for them, and after a month I got fed up and I went back in the leather business again for a different firm. I was getting fed up with that. So overall, I was getting so fed up, I wrote a letter to Cambridge Recruiting Office. Mother and my family said, you'll never go back in the army. So I give it to my sister to go and post. And they knew it had gone. And less than a week later, I had to go down Brooklands Avenue for a medical. And August the 21st, 1956, my other friend who I met in Korea, he had then gone on a £10 package to Australia, so as another friend I'd lost. Old drinking pal, you see, so life was very lonely.
You were out about a year and 7 months.
Something like that, yeah. And I should have gone back in. Really and truthfully speaking, I shouldn't have come out. But if you don't get the taste of civilian life, you don't know what it's going to be like. So, however, I rejoined and up the depot. And
so, now, when you rejoined, you specified the Royal Norfolk Regiment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did you have to go through basic training again, or what was the training?
No. I rejoined and I went in the training company, but as I'd only been out a few months, as the saying is, they just give me the odd jobs picking up paper around the council.
So what was your... You came back to Britannia Barracks?
Yeah.
And that was the Royal Norfolk's depot still?
That's right,
it?
Yes, yeah.
And so what were you doing during your first period? Your period there? What actual duties were you carrying out?
Once they gave me all my webbing again and all my uniforms, I'd got time to take me time to get them as I wanted to get them, you see, because I'd got nothing else to do. Then I already knew this girl because we kept flipping into Norwich now and again, and my mate used to bring us over the car. And I met up with this girl, and I volunteered to go to Cyprus. That was one of the reasons I'd come back in the army as quick, because a friend of mine named Billy Woods, he got killed in the fire. You know, so I thought, oh, well, I'll go back in the army and, you know, see if I can get to Cyprus. Well, I'd had a fortnight's leave to go to Cyprus, and just after I got back off leave, it was called off. Well, as I say, I met this girl, and I said, well, I'm off. As far as I know, I'm off to Germany. And I said, I think I would like to get married before I go, you see. If you are willing. She was only 19, so she hadn't got a father. So she said, yeah, okay, you know, over a period of a few weeks. So I went and asked her, adjutant, if I can have permission to get married, Captain Herring, and I asked all the details. I said, only if I'm going to go to Germany, I said, I'd like to get it all signed and sealed. See, so he said, yeah, well then, while I was on the week's leave, he gave me a... She had to go to the hospital to see what was wrong, and they found out that she'd got TB. So, as I say, I went back after, which I didn't know I was absent without leave.
Tell us that story, because that's not on the tape.
But when I went absent,
I didn't know. Tell us the story, because they don't know on the tape.
I was on leave, you see, and I went back on the Monday, and Lance Corporal Kerrison was the proper corporal then. He said, oh, that's nice to see you. He said, where were you? Why didn't you come back Saturday when you should have been on guard? I said, well, I didn't know I was on guard, did I? So I didn't come up here. So he said, you better get your hat and belt off, bootlaces out, tie off, and get in a cell, which I done as I was told. And then he got in touch with the company, the orderly officer who came along, and obviously he must have read the rules and regulations. And they marched me down to breakfast first, that's right. And then they took me gear away from me, and folding blankets in the cell. And the company commander come in, and the duty officer came in and said, "Release that man on open arrest, Corporal Kerrison, otherwise you might find yourself in his position." See, so called me out of the cells, put me boot laces or my shoelaces in, tie on and belt and hat on, right, company commander's orders at 10:30. Fair enough. So as I said, I walked out of the guard room and bumped into the RSM, Mr. Fitt.
That's Winky Fitt.
Winky. He screamed at me because I'd got a bleached tie on.
Now, why would you have a bleached tie on?
Well, it stood out when you were going to get married, didn't it? Let's be honest. And he screamed at me, "Get it off." Double down the square and whipped that off, and went to my locker and got me other tie out, changed everything, and I thought, well, I better get ready now for company commander's orders, which he'd give me another 7 days. And I got a letter, because as I say, there wasn't the phone boxes or phones about like there is today. So I got a letter from what was my wife then, saying that she'd had a report back and she'd got TB. So I had a word with the duty sergeant for that night, and ask if it was possible to go home, because she lived right the other side of Norwich. I'd got a bike, so I didn't have to hang around waiting for any buses, and to go home and see her, to put my own, give me her own peace of mind. And he asked and hard. Eventually he said, yeah, be back for staff parade at 10 o'clock. Which I was. I was back in good time for that. And we just carried on from there. Then I completed me 7 days, which finished at the Sunday night, the weekend. I was on fire picket. They made sure I wasn't going to get away early. And
now, what about Winky Fitt? What did you think of him? I mean, that
great man.
Was that the first time you'd met him, or had you met him before then?
Well, I had seen him in the camp, prior to going on leave for...
He was RSM of the depot then?
Yeah.
What was he like then as RSM?
Well, early, when you first see an RSM and he starts out bellowing at you, you think, he's a good one, I can't put that on tape, you think, oh well, there again, he's only doing his job when he's screaming at you. And I come...
But you said he was a great man. What was it that was great about him?
Well, at the end of it, my time and his time, that is when the best, you see, Winky is, as he was, if you get me. But early part, he say, "Why ain't you got your gear on for a policeman?" You see? So I said, "I didn't know I was on the police." He said, "Well, you better go report that guard room and see Corporal Kerrison and get yourself sorted out." So, which I did. I went in there and see Kerrison, and he sorted me out with the straps and the armbands and all this paraphernalia. So I went on regimental police.
Was that your posting there?
Yeah.
Now, what about the German posting? Was that cancelled?
Cancelled. See, when my wife had TB, they kept me back in England because she was in hospital for November till the following June. So she was in there 7 or 8 months in an isolation hospital.
So you were put on the regimental police?
Yeah.
Now, what were your duties with the regimental police?
Be there just after reveille to relieve the guard, the night guard. Take any prisoners to breakfast, if there is any. If not, sit behind the table, answer the telephone, because the telephone exchange was in the guard room until the woman came up, the telephonist came on at 8:30. I think it was 8:30. You had them duties to do, you had the mail to sort out, take to the orderly room, the training company, and whatever after the. Because he didn't have a post corporal then, but then Sid Kerrison took the post corporal job when George Turner took over the police. And that was, keep the guard room clean, tidy at all times, and just wander around the camp. He might say, right, you go that way, you go that way, and make sure everything is A-okay, which we did, and then report back to him. And then the longer I kept there, then they made me up to Lance Corporal.
Now, were there any disciplinary problems, in the camp? I mean,
Not many.
What sort of thing would you get?
Well, Winky used to... That was before he got a car, because he was the first one to have a car up there. In the married quarters. HAH 939 was his car number, the Ford Prefect. He used to charge that man doing more than 5 miles an hour. But how could you prove it if he was one end and then the lorry was going down the other end? It's impossible, isn't it? But Winky shouldn't. So I used to turn a deaf ear.
Was there any trouble in the town, or drunkenness, or anything?
No, you see, down in the bottom barracks, or just off Nelson Barracks, you got the RMPs there then.
The Royal Military Police?
Yeah, and the Sergeant Watts, who was in charge of them, he used to live in Britannia Barracks. So we never do any town patrols, never did, because the military police were down there doing sorting all that lot out. If there was any, like I used to do camps at Thetford, Stamford Battle Training Ground, if there was any trouble in town, in Norwich, where they used to come into Norwich, obviously, then Sergeant Watch and his crowd would whip them up into our guard room. So I might go there, or might be called out from, because I lived in married quarters, I might be someone to come banging on the door, get to the guard corporal, whoever was the guard corporal, guard commander, would want me, say, this is your problem, you book them in. I might finish up with 1, 2, or a big selfie. It all depends.
But they'd have been arrested by the RMP.
By the RMP. They was only just because they'd been out on the town and had most probably missed the Passion Wagon back to camp, to Thetford. So they wanted somewhere to crash down for the night. So that's what they used to do.